there. This is Seth Juarez with Channel 9 again with Rowan Miller. How you doing, buddy?
Good, thanks. Good to
see you. I thought we would proceed. This is something you want to do. You want to do some demos.
Absolutely.
We talked a little bit about EF6. We talked a little bit about EF7.
Yep.
And now we just want to see some good code demos on how you can think about the good things that are coming and how you can think about the changes that are coming.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a few demos lined up from me and other folks, and we'll dig in and see what EF7's all about.
Fantastic. So what's the first one about?
Cool. So the first thing I want to talk about is some of the SQL generation improvements we're making in EF7. So on the screen here, we'll do a quick step through an EF7 application I have coded up, and then we'll see it in action.
Fantastic.
So as we'd expect from previous versions of EF, I have a very simple model defined here. It's POCO classes, no attributes or anything special here, just properties and navigation properties between them.
So you just wrote those just
by hand. I'm working in a world where I'm modeling using classes and then generating the database, but if I had an existing database, this could be generated for me.
I see. And so when it does generate from the database, is it just going to write plain old C# objects?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Yep. And again, this is the same as it has been with past versions of EF. Then I've defined my context here on the screen. So just pointing out a few things, we're still inheriting from DB context, same as previous versions. We still have a DB set for each type in our model.
Okay.
We still have on model creating where we can do configuration. Uh-huh. So here I'm making the name property on blog required. And then there's one new thing here, which is the on configuring method that I've got on the screen here. On configuring is where I write code to set up all the settings for this particular context.
I see.
So in my case, I'm saying that I'm using SQL Server, and then I've passed in a connection string here. Now, I've written the connection string inline in code, but this could totally be coming from a config file or somewhere else as well. Mm-hmm. This is a bit of a change from EF6, because in the past, how all this happened was kind of magic and behind the scenes. We'd match names with settings in your app or web.config file. Now we're trying to make everything extremely explicit. You write the code that says how everything works.
Excellent. So maybe if you wanted to switch the underlying provider, you would just go to the onConfiguring and change the code there.
Yeah, absolutely. And use SQL Server as an extension method I have because I have, if we look at my references over here, I have the entityframework.sqlserver library reference.
Oh, I remember you talked a little bit about how you separated out this time the notion of the provider from the notion of the actual ORM.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I have a whole bunch of extension methods that come online. Because I've referenced SQL Server, if I referenced a different provider, I would have different extension methods.
Of course.
Available. Cool. All right, so that's kind of an overview of the setup of the project. Now, let's look at some of the code I've got written here. So I'm creating three instances of some blog objects, and then I'm calling save changes. Now, in the EF6 world, remember, DB context is like a unit of work. It stores up all the changes and it flushes them out to the database when I call save changes. In EF6, this would have resulted in three round trips to the database, one insert for each record
right.
inserting. So let's run the app now. We'll see that it completes. And I happen to have SQL Profiler here running against the database. And we'll see that now in EF7, we're batching it all up into a single command.
That's fantastic. Because, I mean, I don't think people realize that when you do an insert statement, you're putting stuff in, but the database responds every time.
Absolutely. And in this case, because we're using store-generated keys, it's kind of by convention, we'll generate the keys in the database. We're actually also pulling back out the IDs for the rows that we inserted.
That's cool.
So instead of three round trips, now we have one, which is obviously a lot faster, especially in cloud databases where I have a bit more latency between my app and the database.
Right.
Yeah.
So is there a limit to how many you can insert per batch or per unit of work?
There is. There's limits different for different providers. So our providers take care of splitting the batch up in the way that makes the most sense.
I see.
There'd be limits on rows, there's limits on like literally how many characters you can have in the command you send to the database, things like that.
Okay.
And it doesn't always make sense to stuff everything into one huge batch.
That's true.
So the provider takes care. Now, of course, you can split this up, you can adjust the maximum batch size and all those things.
And I think the interesting thing here is that this concern has been separated out from the actual underlying core framework, entity framework.
Yes, absolutely. This is all handled in the relational aspects. Which you would have noticed in my solution explorer over here. In addition to my SQL Server assembly I've got there, I've also got this relational one come in. And this has all the concerns that are common to relational providers.
I see. So let me see if I can clarify. Because before, the way I understood it, and maybe you can help me with that, is that you have, in EF7, you have the core.
Yep.
Then you have the provider, and now there's this other thing called the relational part of it.
Yeah, so it's kind of like an onion. We have the core, which has things that are common to almost every data store. We then have some relational concerns on top of that, and then our SQL Server provider builds on top of that relational library.
So what are some things that are in relational library that were, are they new things or are they things that you just moved out of the core?
So it's a mixture of both. Some things are things we've just moved. So like the methods for configuring the table name that an entity maps to or the column that a property maps to, that's a relational concept. And so that's an extension method that always existed, but you get it when you reference relational.
I see.
Something that's new is we've kind of built a whole bunch of reusable components that other relational providers can build on top of.
I see.
And so now it should be much easier for relational providers to build on top of what some infrastructure that we've provided for them, which ultimately means if someone wants to write a provider for, say, Oracle or MySQL or something, they're writing a lot less code and reusing our components.
So I guess a good way of looking at it, tell me if I'm wrong, is you've looked at the common things that happen across providers,
yep.
And instead of having every provider write that code, you put it into the relational namespace.
Absolutely.
Okay,
that's right.
That makes sense.
Cool. All right, so we've seen batching. Let's look at something else. Obviously, we have link for querying the database, mm-hmm. but there's some things we can't do in link. Sometimes it makes sense to drop out to more of a database native language, like SQL against SQL
right.
Server. So one example of that is when I want to do something like a full text search,
yeah.
or something that's going to work very efficiently and well in the database. So in our database here, if we go and look, I've actually got a table valued function here called search blogs.
Mm-hmm.
And it does some magic inside it. I pass in a search term, and it runs whatever makes sense in the database to go and find blogs that have that search term in it. Could be okay. in the description or the author or the title, et cetera. So we're going to use some logic to query from that. So we're going to say blogs. So db.blogs, this would be my route for a link
right.
query normally. But instead of a link query, I'm going to use the new from SQL method. And we're just going to write some SQL to search to select from our table valued parameter, which was called blogs. Now, obviously, I need to pass in a search term here.
Right.
From SQL supports parameterization. So I'm going to pass it in here. We'll just use blog as our search term.
Right.
And then we'll just for each over the results of that. And let's write the name out to the console.
Nice.
Okay. Now it's important to note here, this is parameterization. So I'm not like concatenating this name into the
right.
string because then I'd be open to SQL injection
That's
attacks.
Right.
So we'll run this. We'll see the blogs written out. There's only two of them in there that mm-hmm. have the word blog in them. And if we go and look at SQL Profiler, we'll see that EF is just literally executing the string that we passed in there.
That's really neat. And here's, well, I'm like old school database guy. I love relational theory.
Yep.
And to me, it strikes me when people try to make new things against like how to search or how to do whatever, when we have like 60 to 50 years of database theory,
yep.
sometimes it's just better to let the database do it.
Absolutely. There's sometimes when an ORM can't give you the right abstraction, you need to get under the covers and do it. Now, that kind of gives us two worlds, which we've actually had in past versions of EF as well. We had the world where I can write raw SQL, and we had another world where I can write link.
Mm-hmm.
What we've introduced in ES7 is the ability to kind of combine those two worlds. So from here, I can now start layering link stuff on top of this. So we're going to order by blog.name. Now, this is nice because this means I'm working in a strongly typed world here. I'm not going in and punching order by to the end of my SQL statement. I'm composing on top of this using link. So obviously, if I rename this property, then it's going to take care of that for me.
The thing I like about this is the reason why, and because it seems like a little magic, but you are telling it right on top of blogs, do some from SQL. So the expectation is that you're going to get something back that's like a blog.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's how it knows to do order by.
And then I can keep composing on top of it. Now, this might look scary because you might think the order is going to happen in memory, but that's actually not the case. If we go and look at SQL Profiler, we'll see that it's actually composing the SQL together in the database. So it's wrapping my original thing there in a from, and it's applying the order by after that. So this is all happening natively in the database.
That's awesome. And I think people, and that's the thing with link. Link is like really beautiful, and there's some really cool things. But if you're doing a to list and then a sorting, you're using up CPU cycles. You're
yep.
using up RAM.
Yep.
But if you somehow push that off the database, you're getting exactly the data you want, exactly the order you want.
Exactly, yeah. Right. All right, so now there may be some cases where we actually want to do stuff on the client. So it's good to push things to the database, but in some cases, we might have some logic written in .NET code that we want to use in our link query.
Okay.
So I'm going to get rid of our from SQL. We're just going to go straight back to from blogs and order by name. If I run this, you'll see that my blogs come out. But I'm kind of cheating on alphabetical sorting here because .NET is coming to the top of the list just because it has a period at the start of its name. So I've got a little help function here. It's called getSortName, and I'm taking care of that. I'm saying if one of the names starts with a period, then substitute that for the word dot, so it'll come up alphabetically that way. So I'm going to go and just wrap the ordering into my little helper function. And we'll go ahead and run. And we'll see things correctly sort this time. Now in EF6, this wouldn't have worked. EF6 would have spat an error back at you saying, you've called this getSortName method, but I have no idea how
because
to translate that.
Because it's in the database.
Exactly,
It thought it was in the database.
So in EF7, we have the ability to evaluate some parts of the query in the database and other parts of the query in memory.
And can you, is that interleavable across, because you can chain like order by?
Absolutely. So the kind of idea behind this is sometimes called compensating link provider. So the provider gets to choose which parts of the query get executed in the database, and it can leave some parts to be evaluated in memory.
Oh, that's cool.
So if we look at the profiler, we'll see that it is selecting the appropriate columns as part of the select cause. In this case, it's all the columns from the table, but it's leaving the sort up to happen in memory.
I see.
Cool.
So if you were to chain like a where after that, where would that happen?
That would happen in the database.
Because
it's going to choose which parts to execute where.
I see.
Yeah.
And so you do an order by b.getSortName, and then you do dot where b.name starts with, I don't know, something, maybe b.author is not null or something.
Well, let's do this, because I'm going to use this in our next little demo. Let's find all the places where the name equals blog, or contains the word blog. We'll run that.
And notice the sorting was still good.
Yep, sorting's still good. We see the where clause is now being executed in the database.
That's really
cool.
But
the sort is happening in memory.
And this obviously, I understand why this would not have worked in EF6, because it's going to say, I'm looking for a table function or some kind of database function.
Yep.
But now what you're doing is you're the provider of the relational part is saying, this part goes to the database, this part goes to me, and it doesn't even matter the order in which you do the statements.
Absolutely. And this is particularly important when we talk about non-relational data stores, because relational databases, they tend to have a common set of things that they can translate.
Right.
But that's not going to be the case when we start looking at something like Azure Table Storage. There, it probably makes sense to do more of the processing in memory.
Okay.
Yep. All right, so let's just drop back and look at one more SQL improvement we've got here. I'm going to leave the where clause on there. And we're going to do an include. So an include says I'm pulling back blogs, and at the same time as pulling back blogs, I want to bring back all of their related posts.
It's like a prefetch, for example.
Yeah.
Other ORMs call it prefetches.
Eager loading is another name for it too. All right, so in EF6 world, this would have resulted in one data set coming back with a join, which means I get the blog, and then for every blog, I get the posts. And that means I'm duplicating the blog data for every post that we have. So you kind of get a cross product of the two.
I see.
If we run this now, we will see that in EF7, if I go back to the profiler here, we're first issuing a query to get just the blog data that has our where clause on it there.
Uh-huh.
We're then joining to the blog table and applying the where clause, but we're not duplicating all of the blog data back as we get each post. We're just returning the individual posts.
I see.
And then the mashup of that data is done in memory.
So instead of getting more data, you get less data, but exactly the data you want.
Yeah, so if we had 10 blogs with 10 posts each, in the old world, we would have pulled back the data for each post, but we would have replicated each blog. So we would have pulled back for each blog the same data 10 times. Now, our first query will return 10 blogs, and then our second query will return just the 100 posts, and we're not duplicating all the blog data.
I see. So, because, I mean, there's some instances where that would just be overwhelming me, a lot of extra memory that you just don't even need.
Yeah, pulling data back over the wire we don't need. Yeah.
And it's cool how this, it's sort of like, in the inner join, it sort of gets everything from the first one.
Yeah, so we still need to apply the same filter. We don't want to bring back all posts. We only want the posts that belong to a blog that matches our filter we applied.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really neat.
Cool, so that's just a summary of some of the improvements coming in EF7. We've got some other cool features to show you as well. So
those are really cool. So in summary, what were there were four you showed me. What did you call each one? Just a little one sentence.
So we showed batching of insert, update, and delete statements during save changes. Mm-hmm. We showed the ability to use raw SQL to query and the ability to continue composing on that with link.
Right.
We showed the ability to include stuff in the query that's going to be evaluated on the client. Our example was a helper method to manipulate the name. Mm-hmm. And then finally, we showed some improvements when including related data so that we reduce the amount of data coming back across the wire.
These are really cool things. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. By the way, we're in their offices, so they're really nice. But for some reason, they're really quiet. I feel like I'm polluting your environment. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. You don't apologize to me, maybe everyone else. But
cool. Well, thanks so much for spending some time. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.